Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you? I was complaining earlier about the fact that I didn't get a song before my sermon, but you couldn't do better than this video and being encouraged to see that our teens went off and had really what the report that's come back is that best camp ever. Best camp ever. So whatever you had to sacrifice to send your kids, it was well worth it. Today I wanted to just talk about something very practical, and that is living a successful Christian life. Living a successful Christian life. Now, preferably we all strive to live a Christian life, but that doesn't mean that we're doing it effectively or successfully. And so I just want to share a few scriptures with you that I think will encourage you and help you along in your journey, because it is possible to fail at living the Christian life and to be miserable at striving to live the Christian life, when really it should be a fulfilling life, because that's what Jesus said, that he came to give us life and life to the full. And really, I think the Christian life is the best life. It's the life we were created to live. And if you're not living in Christ, then you're not really living at all, not in the way that God destined and planned for you to live. So let's pray together as we get started, all right? Our God and Father in heaven, thank you so much for today, and thank you for the way that you have really moved in all of our lives. Thank you for your many blessings, God. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you, God, for this amazing camp that just took place. And, Father, for the fact that people that we love, people that we're striving to influence, were there. And we pray that this would really lead to just a fruitful conclusion in their lives, God, that they would get to know you better. Thank you for this church and for the way that you brought it together. And I just pray you bless the Queens region and bless all of us as we strive to live lives worthy of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Living a successful Christian life. 2 Peter 1. Really, I think here in 2 Peter 1, we see an outline as to how we can live the Christian life. Now, this is not conclusive, because the Bible is so much bigger than 2 Peter chapter 1. But we can take these things, and if we apply these things to our life, I guarantee you, your life will be different. And so starting in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, Peter says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and the self-control perseverance, and the perseverance godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're talking about living a successful Christian life. Says, well, Sam, what do you mean by successful Christian life? Basically, what I'm talking about is a life that glorifies God through obedience, through faithfulness, through commitment to Jesus. And in this successful Christian life, there are ups and downs. There are bumps along the road. There are even shortcomings, maybe even failures. But the fact that you get back up and you persevere through challenge, through hardship, through disappointment, leads to success in God's eyes. When you read the list in Hebrews 11 of all the great men and women of faith who really were successful in God's eyes, it wasn't an easy road. And every day was not filled with great sunshine. But in the end, they received the prize that really counts. And they are the definition of success. Not the world's definition of success, because the world's definition of success really is with temporary things. That you accomplished this. That you got this degree, or you made this amount of money, or you were this successful. And really, you can't take any of that with you to heaven. Even if they put it in your casket, you're still not going to take it with you to heaven. It just won't work. It doesn't happen like that. So when you were talking about true success, which is what this group should be about, because we want to show the world what it really means to live a successful life. And it's not the brand of clothes you wear or the cost of the shoes that you wear. Who cares in the end? What name is on the inside of your shirt or outside your pocketbook? Who cares? I don't care. That is not the definition of success. Success is when you stand before God and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the success that we want to have. So let's talk about a formula for success. All right, here is my little formula for success. It takes power, it takes the promises of God, and you know that last point is the one you're really looking forward to, perspiration. It takes power, promises, and perspiration, and you find all these things right here in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and he starts off with power. He says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and goodness. Things that we need most in life, God has provided. And he's given us the power to live the life that he has called us to live. He's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. You don't need to go outside of Christ. You don't need to go outside of God's will to have the success that God wants to give you. He has provided, and not only has God called us to a high standard, and let me tell you, the Christian life is a high standard. He gives us the power to live that life. And the question is not, is the power available? The question is, do we tap into that power? Do we take advantage of that power? You know, you've been talking about the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God this summer. Well, that Spirit, that power lives in us. He's given us all his commands, and his commands are many, and they're great commands. But not only with the commands, he gives us the power to obey the commands. Is that not a good God? God is not trying to frustrate us, but he is trying to call us higher. And so here's this word power. When you read his divine power, the word is dunamis. And it's the same word, the root word, for dynamite, for dynamic. Anybody got a big old Bible here? Anybody got a big Bible with a... Sometimes, is everything digital here? Anybody got a paper Bible with a bookmarker? I need one with a bookmarker in it. You got one? Yeah, bring that here. Bring that here for a minute. I meant to bring my mine, but I'm going to give it back to you, bro. I know you need this. All right, so this is where the power is, people, right here. And this brother has two bookmarks in his Bible. But I tell people often, these aren't bookmarks. These are fuses. You just need to light them. And the Word of God has the power to change your life. You can have your Bible back, bro. I messed up your marks, but I'm sure you can find them. It's a nice Bible. It looks like it belongs to a holy man. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says that Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory and in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations. Because of God's power, his spirit that lives in us, he says we're able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. I never imagined myself being a Christian. I definitely didn't imagine myself being a preacher. And whatever good I've done, it's been by the power of God. And because the power is there, anybody can live the Christian life. But you can't do it on your own strength or by your own power, because being a good person is not enough. He calls us to be more than that. He calls us to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." When you went down into the waters of baptism, you buried the old man and you raised up the new person that was filled with the Spirit of God. And now you must walk according to that Spirit and keep in step with that Spirit and put on the fruit of that Spirit in your life, with his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The power that lives in you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We have to take hold of it. It is the dynamis, the dunamis of God. You've got dynamite living in you. You got to take hold of it. And then he tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, this is Paul talking. He says, "But he said to me," when Paul was saying, "Lord, you know, I've got this thorn in the flesh. Can you get rid of it?" He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." You know, God not only gives us our strengths and talents, but he also allows us to have areas of weakness. And we don't like that. And sometimes we look at other people and we go, "Well, why are they strong in that area and I'm not?" Well, trust me, every human being has weakness. David had weakness. Solomon had weakness. Samson, as strong as he was, had weakness. Named Delilah, that was his weakness. Women were his weakness. But God's power is made perfect in weakness. He takes your weakness, and even though you're weak, he still uses you for his glory. So sometimes people look at Christians and they go, "Well, I don't think that person is that strong." Let me tell you, the weakest Christian is stronger than the person who has everything living outside of Christ. Because God's Spirit is working through you. And you don't need to be a 10-talent person to give glory to God. Because his power is made perfect in weakness. He loves to take our weakness and give himself glory by working through people that you never thought God could work through. I mean, oftentimes God would choose the least of the tribes, and then he would choose the least of the person in that tribe to show people his surpassing greatness. And he still does it today. He takes the weak to shame the strong, to show his power. Now, the question is, today, what do you need to change in your life by the power of God? The power is there to live a successful Christian life. What appetites do you need to crucify by the power of God? Because they can be crucified. The Bible says no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He always provides a way out. You can overcome temptation, whatever they may be, but you've got to do it through what, church? The power of Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us what we need for life and godliness. Attitudes. Sometimes we struggle with our attitudes. You can overcome your attitudes by the power of Christ. You may need to memorize a few scriptures like Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. That's a good one to remember. You know, Matthew 6:31-34. "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink," right? Right? These are all good scriptures. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. But by the power of Christ, you can do these things. But you've got to set them on your heart, set them in your mind, and ask God to give you the strength to overcome. Some of us struggle with anger. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Ephesians, it says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. You can overcome that. You can go to bed and have a good night's sleep if you obey what the scriptures say. But if you don't deal with the anger, you wake up angrier than when you went to bed. And maybe not even sleep all that well. What do you need to change in your life? You write it down. What do you need to change to be a better disciple of Jesus? And if you leave it blank, you're not reading your Bible. You're out of touch with reality. What actions do you need to change? By the power of Christ. You know, I found myself in situations at times where I'm having to pray right in the moment. God, help me to be humble right now. You know, I preached on humility a couple of weeks ago. And Lord, have I been challenged on that subject since I preached on it. I did that sermon for you. And now the Lord's working on me. So that's why I'm preaching on power this time. So that maybe I can get some power. But you can overcome these things by the power of the Spirit, by the power of the Word. Some of us don't read our Bibles every day. Have you lost your mind? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You can't make it if you're not in the Word every day. That's where the power comes from. It's the sword of the Spirit. According to Ephesians 6, how are you going to fight off Satan? How are you going to fight off temptation if you don't even have a sword? You need to know your Bible upside down, in and out, because the devil can quote scripture too. Sean, I thought we had air conditioning in here. Can we turn it on? The power is not, okay, all right. The power of prayer. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man is what, church? Powerful and effective. The power of the prayer of a righteous woman. But remember, you got to be righteous. And then God hears that prayer. Man, God, we've seen God, and Cynthia and I have seen God answer some amazing prayers. I'll talk about that more in a little while longer. You know, the power is there. You know, I remember a brother telling me about how he and his family drove from New Jersey to Arizona. And they got to Arizona, it was over 100 degrees, and they did the whole drive there and back with no air conditioning. And then I said, well, bro, what happened? He says, you know what? I didn't realize until I got back home that my car had air conditioning. I just didn't push the button. The whole drive back and forth with no air conditioning. And you know what? That's the way some of us are on our Christian journey. The power is there, and we take the whole journey, and we never push the button so that God can help us to live the Christian life. You got to push that power button. And you push that power button through daily Bible study, through petitioning and praying to God, through walking in obedience to His commands, and God will meet you. His divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And if you're not a Christian, I'm here to tell you the power is there for you to live the Christian life and to be an overcomer to the glory of God. Then let's talk about promises. Promises. He says through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises. Boy, I'm just thankful for the promises of God, aren't you? And at the top of that list is the promise of eternal life. That's what Jesus said. He said that if we believe in him, that the reward will be eternal life. And isn't that what we're counting on? Because aren't you thankful that God does not lie? That when you get to the end of the line, when you're there on the day of judgment, it won't be no heaven. Just kidding. No, there's a heaven. This stuff ain't worth it, right? But God is faithful, and he's given us his, how does he describe the promises? Very great and precious. You know, Satan promises you things too. But they're not very great, and they're not very precious. They're very destructive. That's what they are. And in the New Testament alone, 250 New Testament promises. Now, if you went online, it's going to say 750. But a lot of them are repeated, because you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the same promises. And then Paul is writing the same books. You know, he's saying the same stuff to the disciples in Ephesians, to the disciples in Galatia, to the disciples in Colossae. And he tells them all the same promises of God over and over. So when you single them all out, though, 250 promises. Is that enough promises for you? And that's just the New Testament. You go in the Old Testament, I mean, you got to multiply this by five. But are we claiming this promise? Which promises? And you should know some of the promises of God, because we even sing songs, Standing on the Promises. Right? Do we sing that song? You sing it? Okay, all right. Well, we should learn that song then. Which promises are you claiming for your life? Here's a promise that I love to claim right here. Matthew 7. This is a great promise. Because what does the Lord say? Ask and what will happen? Seek, knock, and the door be open to you. All right? Have you claimed this promise? Because he goes on and says, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door. See, I think we do the first one. We ask, and then we wait. I asked you, Lord. No, he doesn't say that. That's not good enough. You got to do what else? You got to seek. And then even after you seek, what do you got to do? You got to knock. So he wants to know, do you really want this? Do you really want this? And he goes on to say in Matthew 7, verse 9, which of you, if he has a son, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If you're Christian, you won't do that. If he asks for a fish, will give him a snake. We don't do that if we're God-fearing people. If you then, though you are evil, and we are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Are we claiming this promise? Too many Christians walk around discontent, unsatisfied with the life that God's given them, because they're not close to the Lord and asking and seeking and knocking till the Lord comes through. Does the Lord say when he's going to bless you? But he says he will. He doesn't say when. You know, I've told you guys this story, and I'm still riding high on the fact that after 44 years of being a Christian, my next youngest, my brother right under me, I mean, I got a sister and brother, became a disciple. Amen. This year, after 44 years of prayer, 44 years of midweeks, 44 years of not missing contribution, 44 years of studying the Bible with people, 44 years of prayers, and God came through. And then 3 weeks after him, his wife was baptized. I mean, you got to keep on asking, keep on seeking. And, you know, Cynthia and I, we get ready to go do a singles conference in Atlanta, and I know we're going to have to deal with the discontentment that a lot of singles have. Are you talking to your daddy about what you want? Because I tell sisters, come to me all the time and say, Sam, I want to get married. I said, look, if God can make a man out of dust, out of dirt, then you got to talk to your daddy about that. I can't make a man, but God can. God can make you a man. He can do it. The Lord is amazing. But you got to claim the, am I right? If you're walking around moping and grope, why would he bless you? Because if you're not happy single, you're not going to be happy married. The married people will tell you that. Because I know some married people who were happy single and got married, ain't been happy since. marriage is not the key to happiness. Jesus is the key to happiness. That's right. And so my question to you this morning is, are you claiming the promises of God? Are you claiming them for your life? You know, every year, it's been said that literally billions of dollars in unclaimed lottery prizes go past people. There were, in 2017, there were 167 prizes worth $1 million or more that went unclaimed. They won and they never claimed the promise. They bought the ticket and never went to see if they won. 167 of 1 million or more. Now here's an idiot from Queens. This person was from Queens. This person had a $31 million ticket in 2006 that it was purchased in Queens and never claimed it. Never claimed it. The oldest unclaimed ticket is for $68 million purchased in New York on Christmas Eve 2002. They never claimed the ticket. That's the way some of us with the promises of God. He's promised, and we're going to spend the whole Christian life never having claimed the promise. But when you're living the life that God's called you to live and you're close to Him, God blesses you in ways that you never imagined. You know, Psalm 103 says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not what, church? All His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. God is amazing. Have you forgotten the benefits of being a Christian? You know, some of us, I just wonder, says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's like, what happened? You haven't let your face know that you're saved. Because a lot of us, we walk around like we were baptized in vinegar. If God does nothing else for you and you're going to heaven, hello? Hello? Well, I wish He'd make me a size 2. You're going to heaven? It's not. Take a 12, girl. It's fine. You're going to heaven. Or I wish I was taller. You can be short and go to heaven. You don't have to be tall. Or I wish I lived here. I wish I lived there. Look, get over it, man. Are you enjoying the Christian life right now? Because you're claiming the promises of God. And why should He give you more if you're not even happy with what He's given you already? I wish. Some people live their whole life wishing. If you're not enjoying the Christian life right now, life to the full, what's going to change it for you? Why should I want to go to church with you if you're miserable in the Lord? Come with me to church as I weep. As I'm depressed in Jesus, join me. I ain't going nowhere with you. I'm staying home. I can be miserable all by myself. Where's the joy of the Lord? Are you claiming the promises of Christ? I got to get off this point. I'm getting sidetracked. He says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Not one. God does not lie, church. He never fails to deliver. And you'll never know it until you give Him everything you've got. You can't claim this if you're lukewarm and you're half-hearted. If you do not love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not going to see those promises become a reality. You can't claim these promises living on the sidelines. You can't claim these promises complaining and being negative and critical. You'll never claim them. These promises are for those who love the Lord with all their heart and give themselves to Him wholeheartedly. Who seek Him, who seek first His kingdom. Then He blesses it. Then He comes through. The promises are a reality. The journey may not be as clear-cut as you hoped it would be. Because he takes you around a few curves. And that's when we just go crazy. We're like, what is the Lord doing now? He's trying to take you where he wants to take you, but it's just not a straight line. You got to go through a few things sometimes to get there. But if you keep trusting in him, he always comes through. And then the last one, I need to leave you with this. Perspiration. Let me wipe the sweat off while I'm talking about this. I got a handkerchief up in here somewhere. Turn the AC on. He goes on, he says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and the goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and the self-control perseverance, and the perseverance godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities with increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he tells us. He says, you got to make every effort. That's a part of living the Christian life. God will bless you, but you got to work for it. You got to sacrifice for it. You got to deny yourself. Isn't that one of the first laws of New Testament Christianity? Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone will come after me, he must do what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily. That's a part of it. And that's how the blessings come. That's a part of living the Christian life. Every day you have to tell yourself no to something. You just can't do whatever you want to do and still be successful. That doesn't work in any area of life. You can't raise children and just don't ever pay attention to them. But you still got to change their diapers. You still got to feed them. But it's not convenient. No, them little rascals are hungry every 3-4 hours. You just can't go. I'll see you at 8. It takes self-denial in any area of life. And the same thing is true of the Christian life. Are you making every effort? What efforts are you making to grow spiritually? What efforts? Are you making every effort? Don't tell me you can't read your Bible every day. Who's in the way? You're in the way. Who's stopping you? You. Are you making every effort to overcome a lack of discipline in your life? If you were late this morning, whose fault was it? Well, the bus didn't come on time. My wife, my children. Oh, you're supposed to be the head of your house, you big bad self. But a lot of us, we're not making the effort, every effort to be here on time. And it's just totally selfish on our parts. I maybe want everybody to see us as we walk in. I really would not like to see you while I'm trying to have communion. I'd rather for you to be seated like I'm seated. But we got to make, is that the way we always go to work? Go, hey, I'm here. Hi. Hello, I made it. Aren't y'all happy to see me? I work for a fast food restaurant and the boss expects us to be on time. Minimum wage, you better be here on time. And for him, on time was early. And that was for minimum wage. Now, if I'm coming to worship the Lord, I think I should be here on time. But what do you got to do? You don't get mad at me. You make every effort to give glory to God. You got to make every effort to overcome sin. You got to make every effort. Your discipling partner can't do these things for you. And I think the discipling thing, sometimes it messes us up because we want other people to come in and fix what only we can fix. Nobody can fix you. You got to fix you. Stop trying to fix people. Encourage them, pray for them, love them, but then you got to tell them, you got to do this. You got to do this. You know what? Cynthia and I learned a long time ago, even after we got help with our marriage, that the real work was after we got home. Now what you going to do? Huh? Brother told you need to be humble. Now what you going to do? That's the real test. I mean, we all look good here on Sunday. Hey, look at y'all. We filled with the Holy Ghost, caught up in the Spirit. Look at us. Say sanctified. Yes, look at us. Radiant in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. But the real you is the one we don't see when you get home. When you talking to your sugar like she ain't your sugar. Pass the sugar, sugar. The real Christianity is not here at Queens College. The real Christianity is back in whatever place you live at. That's when you've got to make every effort. You have to make every effort to overcome whatever weakness there is in your life. You have to make every effort to be saved. Man, we're trying to drag people into the church. Man, when I decided to become a Christian, you couldn't stop me. I was at every church service, every Bible talk, every Bible study, because I wanted to go to heaven. If you got to drag people in the church, you're going to have to drag them to stay. If you beg them to come in, you're going to have to beg them to stay, and they won't stay. Because you got to be here because you love the Lord, because you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. And it doesn't matter what anybody else has done. I'm here because Jesus is Lord of my life. And I'm grateful for what he's done for me. And if it's anything less than that, it won't work. You can't become a Christian for your mama or your daddy or your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Because they may not stay your girlfriend or your boyfriend once they open their eyes and see Jesus. Are you making every effort? What effort are you making to be the best Christian you could possibly be? You know, as we come to a close here, what does he tell us? He simply says, make every effort to add to your faith. Which of these things do you need to work on? Everybody's saying all. You know, I have to work on that perseverance thing. You know what I'm saying? Because, and I'm going to talk about this next Sunday, but sometimes Christians make me struggle. These are God's people. Sometimes people are hard to put up with, aren't they? And what does he say? Add to your faith goodness, and the goodness knowledge, and the knowledge self-control, and the self-control, what? Perseverance. You ever felt like just saying, forget it? Yeah, you ever even said to yourself, I'm done with you? I mean, I'm sure you have it, but I'm just like, you know, sometimes it, just, you know how the temptation can be there to go, I'm done with these fools. I'm out of here. It's over. There's got to be another way. But what does he tell me? I gotta go back. Add to your faith perseverance. That means don't quit. Don't give up. Stay at it. Even when they do you wrong, just keep on loving. Keep on giving. Keep on smiling. Keep on hugging. It's perseverance, man. You know, Michael Jordan, what did Michael Jordan say? He missed how many shots? 9,000? 9,000. He said, I missed 9,000 shots. Says 26 times I was trusted to take the winning shot and missed. Says, but I keep trying. And this is why I succeed. And so in the Christian life, sometimes you get knocked down. But what do you got to do, church? You got to get back up. That's how you live a successful Christian life. It's not the getting, because we all get knocked down. The question is, are you going to get back up and persevere? And then look at how he closes out. I'm gonna skip this next Christian, this next, because you got to work at it. God will give to each person according to what? According to what? What he's done. Now, we're saved by grace, but you still got to do something. Because God's going to want to know, what did you do? Did you make every effort? But as we come to a close here, I want to leave you with this. Where he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what will happen, church? If you do these things, you will what, church? Can we say it louder? You will. Tell somebody. Tell somebody. If you do these things. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a believer fall? If you've been around, you've seen a few people fall, right? And there's some this morning who are on the brink of falling. Let me tell you, they're like hanging on by a thread. But if you do these things, this is a promise. You will never fall. You know, my wife just celebrated her 45th year as a disciple. Back early this year. 45 years. And 38 of those years, we just celebrated our anniversary, 38 of those years has been with me. You know, that's one tough woman right there. She is spiritual. She got the Holy Ghost and then some. But you know what? We've been through a lot of ups. I've never worried about Cynthia falling away from God. Not one second. I have worried a few times that she might want to kill me, but I've never worried. I've never wondered, will she fall? I thought I might fall, but because she's continued to grow. He says you got to do these things with, you've got to add to them. Add to your faith. And you've got to continue to grow. You've got to continue to move forward. You can't sit still. You've got to take hold of the power. You've got to take hold of the promises. And then you have to work at it. Every day, work at it. And you say, well, Sam, I'm in a tough situation right now. What an opportunity for you to give glory to God. Right now, the marriage isn't so good. What an opportunity for you to give glory to God. Because you're going to persevere, and I'm going to grow, and you can't grow unless you go through difficult things. It's an opportunity for you to grow. And as you make it through these things, God teaches you things. He gives you insight. And you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, he'll be right there with you. He'll be waiting on you going, you come on. I see what you did by faith. Come on in. I got a special seat for you. I got a special room for you with your name on it, and it has air conditioning. God bless you.